Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Does. Love does. We've been talking about the motivation and the act of love, and God has just has God been speaking into your life a little bit through His Word through this series? I know He has been for me, and so if you want to catch up on some of those, you can jump and listen to our podcast or even go back and watch some of the video on our Facebook Live to catch up with that too. But as you saw in the front part of your worship guides, next week we are starting a brand new series over the book of James, and I love the book of James. And if you look at that, it's because James is a very practical and says, hey, if you want to know how your faith begins to work out, how your faith works throughout Monday through Friday through Saturday, it's an incredible, almost a guidebook into how to experience that. So we're going to be covering topics like trials and temptations, how to tame the tongue, how do I get wisdom, the God-given wisdom, how do I flee from temptation, and also what is God's will for my life. And so a lot of huge topics that I'm incredibly excited about. That starts next week. And so just in a few minutes, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. If you have your Bibles, YouVersion app, whatever you'd like to use, it's going to be on the screens for you as well. But I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump right in. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for this morning. Thank You for everything that You have done this week, God, and how this week maybe our schedules were thrown off a little bit, and some added pressure and all those different things. God, I just pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that You'll close this series in a powerful way, God, and I pray that revelation and clarity comes to surface inside of our hearts and inside of our lives through the message today, God. I pray that I will decrease so that You may increase, and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So have you ever asked the question, what is my calling? And maybe you've never used that phrase before, like, hey, what is my calling? Or maybe you've asked it this way. I've heard some people even call it, what is my destiny? What is going to happen to me in the future? Or maybe you've even thought about that through your vocation of saying, hey, well, what is my career going to look like? You know, the word career comes from the word calling. And so what is my career going to look like? What is my destiny? Maybe you've heard it or thought about it this way. What is my purpose? What is my calling inside of my life? And I feel like we all have wrestled with this at some point. And I honestly believe that sometimes this question can pop up in different seasons of our life. That maybe, hey, when I was younger, I felt like this was my calling, but now I'm in a new season, and that what's my calling now that I'm in this season? Or what does my calling look like? What does the form of my original calling look like in this season of my life? And it can change, I think, in those moments. And not only change, but I think it can begin to ask us and make us think certain questions about our life. And what does that direction look like for me? And so if we're looking at that, I wanted to close this series out. I had the idea in mind of where God was leading us and begin to pray. And He directed us to Ephesians chapter 4. And I love this chapter. And if you've been in the church world for a while, I'm sure you've heard particular verses picked out of here centered around church and the theme and the idea and the concept. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and he's trying to create some clarity for them. And he starts here in verse 1, and I love this first verse. We're going to read a few verses, stop, talk about it for a minute, and then kind of work our way down into verse 16. You guys still with me? All right, very good. Verse 1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One hope when you were called, and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. That is such a powerful verse. And the verse 1, the Apostle Paul sets it up and he says, hey, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have on your life. And he's speaking to the Christian believers inside this particular church. And he's painting this picture. He doesn't go, hey, I urge you pastors, right? He doesn't single out and go, hey, I urge you pastors to live a life worthy of your calling. Hey, I urge you, whatever field you're in, he says, hey, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I urge you to live out your calling. I thought that was a huge revelation for you and I to know, and I've entitled this message today, I Have a Calling. If you're taking notes, that's the title right there. Highlight, underline, circle that. If I was the kind of guy who said, turn to your neighbor, I'm not, but if we, that would be a good moment, right? To say, I have a calling. For you and I to remember that we have a calling, a God-given, passionate, empowered calling from God. Every single one of us. And if we don't know Christ, His calling on your life is to first have a relationship with Him. And as soon as we have a relationship with Him, He calls us and says, hey, I have a calling on your life. There is something I want to do in and through you. And this is huge because sometimes we think only certain people have certain callings. But he's saying, I have a vision, a plan, and a purpose for every single person, a calling for your life, and that every Christian has one big overarching calling that he has given to us in our life. And he's saying, hey, it starts out with this, to make every effort to be unified through the Holy Spirit. And this is an incredible picture because have you ever thought something during the week? Like, I feel like God is speaking this to my heart, or maybe you just even had a thought, and then you get to Sunday morning and we start preaching and you're like, I was just thinking about that. Has that ever happened to you? Like, I was just, and the Holy Spirit has united us in that moment. And as the body of Christ, He begins to prepare your heart, my heart, for when we come together and it begins to unite us. And even think about it this way, if somebody's name comes to your mind and you shoot them a text, shoot them a phone call, and they go, wow, I can't believe you called me. I'm going through this right now. And you see that moment where the Holy Spirit right there in that moment says, hey, I will help you be unified if you will yield to me. And he is saying the Holy Spirit brings us together through one Spirit, one hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. And then he says, through one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all, that we have received a calling from our Heavenly Father. And He is in all, through all, and in every situation. He walks through us, walks with us through those situations. Even if we feel like it is a trial and temptation, even if we feel like we're walking through the fire, He's walking with us to help us flesh out what that calling looks like in our life. And so if we look at this and he's saying, hey, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. I love Apostle Paul because they call him like the preacher as he writes. And that's why I believe that Hebrews is so powerful. Most people don't believe, they're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. I believe it was Paul, but we can't confirm that. But as you're talking through, he writes with such power as if he was a preacher. And so I love the progression of chapter 4. And he goes on here into verse 7 and he starts to flesh this out for you and I. And he says, hey, if you want to know how to live out your calling, that yes, you do have a calling. Number one, we got to figure out what Paul is calling us and telling us, hey, this is what your calling is. But not only that, what does it look like and how do I live this thing out? And he continues here in verse 7. You guys still with me? Say amen. 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 Very good. I like it when we talk back, you know, talk back and forth. We're a family here. Verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. I just want to stop there just for a second. Because last week we talked about the comparison trap that we can get in, right? The talents that God has given us. He gave one person one, two, five. And they did not control. We can't control what God has given us to be faithful with. And God is, and Paul is even reiterating this, and he's saying, each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That each one of us has a grace on our life to help us fulfill the calling that he has on our life and whatever capacity capacity that it may look like, God is saying, I've graced you for that capacity. And so we don't have to step back and go, well, look at everything that they're doing. Look at everything that she's doing. Look at everything that they have. God is going, no, I've called you and I've graced you for your race just as I have apportioned it. And we can trust God in that moment. We're going to continue on verse 8. It says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and then the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own work. God is saying, hey, I've given you a calling on your life, and I've even graced you for that calling. But as a believer, as a follower of Christ, he's saying, hey, I've not just left you alone to say, hey, this is your calling. He's saying, hey, I'm actually going to even give you tools to build up and to live out the calling that I've placed on your life. And he's saying, hey, he starts out and he goes, hey, I've given the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors and the teachers. He's saying, I've given these gifts. And it's like, hey, I've given you this tool bag, these spiritual gifts, so that you can equip the saints for the work of service. He's saying, I've not only given you a calling, but I've given you good gifts, these spiritual gifts that have empowered you to move forward and to live into this. That's why we as a church, we do our Discover Meet and Greet to introduce these gifts, or introduce the spiritual gifts that God has placed in your life, because we believe that those are the tools that God has given us to equip the saints for the works of service. And he stops here for a second and he says, I've given you the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, right? And we look at those as these fourfold big spiritual gifts inside of our life. And we may look at it and go, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an apostle. I'm definitely not an evangelist on TV with my suit on, right? Like, I'm not all of those. I'm not a teacher. Like, I don't fit anywhere in this. And I believe that God has placed and wired us in a specific way. And maybe there are gifts that we have that we don't realize that we're walking with. You see, the apostles, they were gifted with this. Not only were they appointed directly by God, and so they were named the Apostle Paul. That's why I'm not Apostle Daniel, right? Because I wasn't directly in those moments, in those biblical times. But you can have an apostle spiritual gift where you can go out. The early church, the early Christians, they went out and the apostles started churches, right? Like, they were the OG original church planters. They were out church planters like crazy. And so they had this special spiritual gift right there in that moment. And then he says, hey, I've given some people who are prophets, okay? These people, like, we think about Jeremiah who walked around naked for 3 years. You're like, I'm not a prophet, right? But God is saying, no, prophets have this special ability to speak directly into a situation. If you want to know what is the truth, you find somebody with the prophet spiritual gift, because they're not going to beat around the bush. They're going to go, oh, this is it. They can even pray about it and go into Scripture, but they have this ability to be able to speak into that and to bring clarity to that. I give you an example. Christy's singing right here. I believe she has one of those gifts, and there are times and moments where I'll send her a text, hey, will you pray about this? And let's begin to talk about it, what God has spoken inside of our lives. And then he says evangelists, right? That people just have this supernatural gift. These are the people that maybe you've walked with them. They're standing in line at Walmart, and all of a sudden they're sharing the gospel with somebody. You're like, Where did that come from, right? Like, they just have this supernatural gift. Jason Clark, who preaches here, this is a true story. We were running a Spartan race, okay? A Spartan, like think about it, Spartan race. He meets this guy, talks to him, starts talking about church, starts talking about Jesus. At the end of this 8-mile race, he's hugging this guy and, like, praying with him. I'm like, how in the evangelism, like, this spiritual gift, right? It just flows through them. Now, that does not excuse you or me to evangelize, right? Like, that is a command by God, but there are certain people that we just need to shower in prayer and say, you are gifted for this particular thing. Or maybe they call it a pastor or a shepherd, somebody who walks along with somebody, who feels what other people feel. I believe my wife has this gift because when you're hurting, she's hurting. When you're laughing, or she's laughing. All those things, walking deeply with people, right? And then teachers, people who can dive into God's Word and bring clarity to Scripture, bring clarity to God's truth and God's revelation that God speaks to them. But there is this special revelation that God flows through them, this gift. But we weren't just given these for you and I to go, woo-wee, look how I just taught that word. That was good, right? Like, that's not the reason why we were given that gift. God is saying, no, you've been given it as a tool for your calling as a Christian. That the spiritual gift is just the avenue to help you with your calling. Excuse me. Just an avenue to help you with your calling. And he's saying that your calling as a believer in Christ, every single one of us has this calling on side of our lives. He's saying, one, you've received spiritual gifts. You've got your tool bag. I'm working through you in that way. And then I'm calling you to equip the saints for the work of her service. The Apostle Paul doesn't step back and go, okay, now you're called to do this, you're a pastor to do this, you're do this. He's saying, no, as the body of Christ, we are called to equip the saints, meaning other Christians, called to equip those who are around us for the works of service, to live out what God has called us to do. That we can say that in our minds and in our hearts when we wake up in the morning, woo, I got a calling today. My calling is to equip those who are around me. And I believe that can look different for you and I. And you know, for me, I have a vocational calling to be a pastor. So I wake up on Monday, that is my calling to live that out. But you may be called to be a CEO of a particular company. You may be called to be, your vocation to be a stay-at-home mom. But God is saying, over that, you have a calling, right? Like when you're at home, you got your small group, your kids are around you. And you said, okay, this is my calling to equip the saints, equip these kids that I'm surrounded with, right? I could have a calling in my life. I'm at work. I'm like, okay, I got a calling today at work. I have a purpose today at work, and it is to equip the saints that are around me anywhere and everywhere I go. And as we live life with that lens, I call it the lens of discipleship, that we look through our lives and our relationships and going, okay, through this lens of discipleship, are they investing in me or am I investing in them? And I'm living in this lens of discipleship, and how can I equip them for the works of service? This past week, we were rookies in this hurricane thing, so we evacuated, okay? We're like, I'm not chancing it, I'm not risking it. And we went to Charlotte, North Carolina. If you've ever been there, it's a beautiful city, pretty awesome. And it was my birthday this week, right? But on Thursday, and I turned an amazing 33 years old. I'm excited. I'm getting old, my knees are hurting, I'm just kidding. And so we get there, and I didn't even realize this, but we're pulling down the road, and all of a sudden we see that we are right next to the Billy Graham Museum. I mean, my calling is a pastor, so I'm like, jackpot, I know what we're doing tomorrow. We're going to visit this. And we got to visit and walk through it, and if you've ever been there, it's pretty incredible, but if you haven't, maybe you don't even know who Billy Graham is. He was a evangelist who had this strong evangelism gift, traveled all over the world preaching the gospel. And I told my wife last night, I said, you know, the one thing that spoke to me after even preparing for this message and being a part of this and seeing Billy Graham's life is that he used every single method that was given to him to equip the saints for the works of service. I mean, he was on TV. He was on the radio. He wrote newspaper columns. He even created gatherings so that he could share the gospel and equip the people that are Christians around in those moments. Like, his entire life, he had this lens of looking and going, okay, my calling is right here. And one of the tools that God has given me is evangelism. So I'm going to share the gospel anywhere and everywhere God opens the door. And he went to Russia, all these different areas, and proclaimed the gospel. And I just went back and energized. Like, okay, I've been in ministry now for a little over 10 years, and I am more fired up today than I was then, because God has been working inside of my life and building my faith. And he's saying, hey, now is not the time to slow down. Now is the time to speed up. Now is the time to say, every single opportunity that God gives me, every single relationship that comes in my path, I can view it through the lens of discipleship and go, you know what? I have a calling that God has placed on my life, and it is to equip the saints for the work of service. Because love does make disciples. Our love, and I believe the greatest thing we can do for those around us is to equip them for the works of service. The greatest thing we can do for my kids is to equip them for the works. The greatest thing I can do to lead my wife is to help her live out the life and the calling that God has placed on her life. The greatest thing that we can do as the Bridge Church, if we want to get laser focused and complete clarity over it, is to go, okay, God, you have called us to make disciples. Last night, I wish y'all could see me on Saturday nights, because I get a little like fired up. God starts speaking to my heart, and the Holy Spirit just starts preparing me for Sunday. Because I believe this message has the potency to be an incredible life-changing, transformational truth if we live this out. If you and I go, okay, I'm taking this thing seriously, and I'm either going to, one, start taking the steps to be discipled so that I can in turn know that, hey, at some point I am going to start making disciples. I want to get to the point where I can be ready for that. But then, if I feel like, hey, I've been doing this for a little while, I'm ready to make disciples now. God has a calling on side of my life, and it can look different ways, because I don't want to put a pressure on you like, okay, I'm going to walk out of here and I'm leading a small group, right, of 30 people. I'm preaching next week. Like, it can look different in different seasons, in different situations, because you may be the head of a household and God is going, hey, I want you to start there. I want you to start there. God could be saying, hey, there's a group of guys that you hang out with every single Sunday and every single Tuesday. I want you to start there. Hey, there may be some friends you have at school that God has ordained and connected and put those people around you. I want you to start there. Or maybe God is saying, hey, I've placed some guys who are a little more spiritually mature than you, and you have realized that, hey, I'm close to them in relation. I want you to start there. I want you to go up to them and go, hey, will you help me? Will you disciple me? Hey, what can I do to help that? And we're walking straight into this season of fall where we're launching our small groups, and we want to help you in that path. And that's why we always say small groups are so huge, because we believe transformation happens in those circles where we can get together and look eye to eye and go, okay, this is going on in your life. Let me walk with you through it. Let me help you make disciples. And I can tell you, when you allow God to work through you and you experience that pure natural calling of making disciples, and you look back over a year and go, wow, I invested in them. And look what God has done in their life. I'm telling you, it transforms your life. It transforms your heart. And you have a calling on your life. And God wants to breathe life and truth into you. And I believe that He has given you the tools to be able to build up the church and what this looks like inside of our lives. And so if you're taking notes here, I don't have it on the screens, but if you're taking notes, my calling is to make disciples. My calling is to make disciples. We are given spiritual gifts to be disciple makers. We are given spiritual gifts to be disciple makers. And I'm getting ready to close here. And I want to touch real quickly just on verse 16. As we get ready to close, we're going to sing this song together. Everybody still with me? All right, very good. Verse 16, it says, "For him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in what? Love, as each part does its work. He's saying, hey, the whole body is joined and held together. It grows and builds itself up in and rooted in love. That love is our motivation. Love is our power. Love is what drives us to say, hey, I love you so much that the greatest thing I can do for you is to help you to be more like Christ. One of my life verses that is just, it speaks so much to me here is Ephesians 4 verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect mature body of Him who is head, that is Christ. Some translations say, speak the truth in love so that we may grow more and more to be like Christ. I thought, wow, God, You've called me to speak the truth in love in every opportunity that I get. You know, sometimes we take that speak the truth, right? And like we just go on a pedestal and we're like, hey, you need to be doing this, right? Like, but God is saying, hey, speak the truth in love. Filter it through love to say, hey, I love you so much. You have so much potential. That I've noticed this was going on in your life, and I believe God can speak truth and life into the situation that you're in right now. And I want to help you to be more like Christ. And I thought, what a powerful prayer for you and I to say, hey, every single day, I want to look for opportunity to speak the truth in love and to grow more and more like Christ. Every day, God, help me to be more and more like You. Move inside of my life. Move inside of my heart. And He says, when we do this, when each part does its work, it's almost like a disclaimer Paul puts here. He said, the body will be built up if you and I are focused and have the revelation of going, okay, we are all called. And God is calling us to make disciples. And He's given me gifts to do that. And when I use those in love, when as each part does its work, Paul says, when we all do our part, we see the body be built up and strengthened and encouraged and one hope and one baptism and one faith and unity within the body of Christ. Because when we are focused and saying, God, what would You have me say? What would You have me do? God begins to speak through His word and through His truth. And you and I become disciples of Christ and disciple maker. So I would encourage you today just to begin to say, God, where do You want to start in my life? Is it, hey, I need to jump into maybe a small group to be discipled, or I need to move into a relationship where it's maybe more one-on-one or just a couple of guys or whatever that may look like, because I need to be equipped first. But no, I'm walking into that group with the mindset of, hey, one day I'm going to be a disciple maker. I have a calling on my life and God has called me out and I'm going to discover my gifts. I'm going to discover God's word and His truth and I'm going to walk in that so God can use me to live out the calling that He has on my life. And you and I get to experience God on a whole new level when this clarity and revelation hits our life and we begin to view life through the lens of discipleship. And I love the early church and the pictures of the disciples in Acts 2 and 4. And when even trials and temptations came and they had to spread and scatter, when they scattered, you know what happened? All these disciples with callings on their lives to spread the gospel and make disciples. The gospel and the story of Jesus spread like wildfire because His disciples believed they had a calling. And every city they came into, they had the lens of discipleship and going, okay, I'm sharing the God, I'm sharing truth, I'm sharing love, and then we're going to walk together in this discipleship. We're going to walk together in this love. And so I believe that God has that calling for you and I. And we want to help walk with you to walk into that calling. And so as I pray this morning, I first want to say if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I don't even know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My hope is this morning that maybe you've had a revelation of going, okay, I've seen this unity. I'm seeing one faith, one hope, one baptism, one God who is in all through all. And I believe that. I believe that He is my Lord and Savior. I believe that He died on the cross for me. And I believe that He has the power and He rose again. I believe that truth just as we were singing the song earlier. And I believe that first and foremost, that's God's calling on your life, is to move into a relationship with Him. And so I'd love to pray with you right after service, or maybe you have your Connect card there. You want to fill it out and write, hey, I'm looking to follow Christ. I'm looking to become a disciple of Christ. And so those moments you can fill that out and we'll begin to have that conversation with you. I'd love to pray with you right after service so that you don't have to leave this place today without the peace and knowing that you have a relationship with Christ. Hey, I've given my life to Him. But for the rest of us, I want to pray that God would speak to our hearts. And with every ounce and fiber of my being, after reading and studying it and being in ministry, I honestly believe if we as the church live this out, we won't be able to touch what God is going to do inside of this community. We will see people being bridged to the gospel. We will see people being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will see a mighty move of God when you and I go, I have a call. And I'm going to live it out today. And the 101,000 people in this county who don't know Christ, we will be scattered. And God is going, whoo, I'm going to use them to reach every single one of them. We will not stop or rest. But it happens when you and I believe this revelation and go, okay, God, I have a calling on my life. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You, praise You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your truth, God. Thank You for calling us out. Calling us out of our sin, God, out of our hurt, our struggle, our pain, God, and that You've given us a new direction. That although we will still face trials and hurt, God, but now we have You to give us peace in and through it. God, and I pray that You would speak to our hearts. That whatever the step looks like, I pray that You will reveal it to us, God. I pray that just like the Apostle Paul, You will remove the scales of anything that's over our eyes so that we can look at life through the lens of discipleship, God. That You begin to speak and empower into our hearts and lives. I pray that we begin to pray and discover the gifts that You have given us, God. I pray that we use those to help make disciples of those who are around us, God. I pray that You call us to be intentional every single day, to be obedient, God, available to what You are calling us to do. God, I believe Your Word. I believe Your truth. And I believe You have an incredible calling for each and every person in this room. And I pray that today marks the day where we step into that calling and watch You do incredible things in and through our life. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at thebridgebluffton.com.